Hi, and welcome back to Transvox. And welcome to Jenny, who's sitting in front of me, resplendent as always,
She's,
in
I'm back
her.
by no public demand. Hi, Jill.
And resplendent in your Darth Vader outfit today. I thought that's very appropriate for the day.
I'm feeling it's a bit hot, to be honest, but I do like to embrace my dark side. And he did get redemption in the end, so
He did, and he found his son and daughter. Yeah. I won't talk about him going needing to go to the secondhand shop. So let's move right on immediately and start talking about. I tell you what, we want to talk about today about something very practical and something really important. Because something I've noticed, I don't know what you think about this, but a lot of people, when they transition, have the stress of handling the whole process for themselves. Then they bump into the relationship issues. And often that means they lose their relationships. Sometimes that means they have to get thrown out of their houses and housing and such like, lose housing. And sometimes they lose jobs as well for all sorts of different reasons, whatever that might be. And therefore, you can find yourself on benefits, sort of struggling around without, when you're out of work, traditionally what tends to happen is you can get depressed because you lack work, you lack that structured time, you lack money, you lack self-esteem. So, what we want to talk about today is how do you get into the workplace? So, either how do you get a job? And then on another episode, we might handle how you get promotion. But let's talk first of all about you don't have a job and you want to get a job. So I know the stats look pretty horrible on this, Jen, don't they?
Yeah, I mean, we have high, as a community, we have high levels of unemployment. And I remember reading a survey, it's a few years old now, maybe 5 years old, that talked about how this, I think it was solicitors surveyed companies that admitted they wouldn't necessarily hire a trans person. Whether that's changed now, I'd like to hope. But I think for a lot of trans people, they can end up out of work just because. The challenge of transitioning in the workplace, if you don't get accepted, I know for some people I've spoke to, they feel like having a fresh start, and work was the last place I transitioned. So it was sort of the last hurdle, being accepted at work. So that can inevitably end up with maybe you leaving the job and saying, I want a fresh start where nobody knows my gender history. And I can understand that. But then there's always a challenge, certainly, in the UK right now, about anybody getting a job. So let alone if you're trans and maybe have some hurdles to get over.
And I think one of the things to bear in mind is that what employers don't always understand, and that's part of us to educate the community, isn't it? Which is, if you have a trans person and you accept them, you probably have the most passionate, fiercely loyal, most committed person in your workforce, because to be just accepted as trans is such an enabling thing. So if you're going to hire someone who's trans and you're going to accept them, you're onto a pretty good thing, I always think. And I don't think that case is made well enough from time to time.
No, you're absolutely right there. I mean, I am still grateful to this day that I was my employer supported me when I transitioned, and I am loyal to my employer. But part of that is because when I needed them, they did. I mean, vice versa, if the employer doesn't manage it well, I can see the other side of that. But if they do, absolutely, there are real benefits, without going into the wider benefits of having a diverse workforce with diverse experience and how that is better for customers, better for patients in the terms of the NHS and everything else. And the evidence is there. But you're absolutely right, Jill.
So it's and in a funny sort of way, a lot of the steps we're going to talk about today are don't matter whether you're trans or non-trans, but the trans creates a bit of wrinklage around the whole thing. So for some people, one of the challenges they're going to have is the level of where they are in transition. So you may be at a place, for example, where you've begun to do the name change. But it hasn't fed through to all the legal places. So one of the things you're going to have to manage, and it can be a tricky process to deal with, is you're going to have to handle your old dead name as well as your current name. Because it may well be, for example, if you're going to be DBS checked, I don't know if that DBS is the right word, the disbarring and
Yeah,
yeah,
DBS.
DBS. Yeah. Or if it's just going to be, giving you a national insurance number, or it's going to maybe giving a reference for someone who doesn't know you're trans. I think it's the place where sometimes this is where your previous and past, your current and past life really hits you in the face. I don't know if you've got any thoughts about that, Jen.
Yeah, no, it is. It is, and it was actually the case for an extent for myself. Anyway, I didn't change employer, but I had to get me all my stuff changed within the employer and provide an ID when, particularly when you're as chaotic as I am, in your new identity and getting birth certificate, things like that that employers need these days can be difficult. And for a good while after I transitioned, although I was treated, I was Jenny and everything at work, some records had me listed in my old name. So I used to get payslip coming through with my old name on. I didn't particularly like it, but it was my own failings to not get that sorted. And you're absolutely right for a new job. I think that I don't know if things have proven that. I think if you're intending on, if you're in a transition and you're intending on working in your new improved gender, right? If that's what you're intending on doing, then that's you want as much of your ID and stuff in that name as well. But also, I think there's a responsibility on the employer if you haven't got all that. So if you're on some employment database in your old name, that still shouldn't be disclosed because you should be known at work as you wish to be known. Does that? I think that makes sense. And that certainly in big employers, that could happen. So even though my land manager knew that my electronic record had a different name on it for a while, nobody else could see that. It was kept from nobody else.
And even if your credit checks and you go back 3 years and you've, if you've moved house, you're going to run into this issue of your name change. And look, I think I listen to a lot of people moaning and whinging about this. The fact is, it's just a fact. You just have to, it's like a cis woman changing her surname after a marriage, for example. It's most organizations are set up to actually to handle changes of name really well, because it's not unusual for someone to change, particularly the surnames, and therefore their forenames are okay as well. And you can often have situations, can't you, where you end up with your using your female or your male name, but with the pronoun being wrong. So you might have Mr. Betty Crocker, for example. And it's one of the and I think what you have to do is when you're applying for jobs, you have to slightly get over that and make the process as easy for the recruitment firms as possible.
I get that. I think you're right. You're absolutely right in terms of the mechanisms can be the same if anybody's changing details and names and getting those right. I think the impact can be different. And I think the employer, if I was going to go for a new job, I'd want to make sure that even though those records were sitting there, that wasn't divulged to the wider workforce. There's no reason for it. So if my record copy of my birth certificate because my birth certificate hasn't changed. So if they ask me to provide that, it's got my old details on because I haven't changed it. I haven't done that piece of the act. But I'd want assurances that that's not going to be shared with anybody it doesn't need to be shared with, so that my gender history can be kept confidential. So there is something I think you can do around that if you're not in a position to manage that.
Now one of the biggest things comes about when does one disclose that one is trans. So, for example, I'm applying for a couple of jobs at the moment because you issued me with a challenge a few weeks ago outside of these podcasts about looking for jobs. And I was applying for jobs. And because of where I am and my change, I've got all sorts of complexity, as other people have. And I've applied for jobs both as a trans person and as a male person. And I've actually had more success with my trans applications. Now, to be fair, I have focused my trans applications in areas which are much more welcoming into trans places. So that's something. So I've gone with my female name, because of course that is my name. All my deed polls aren't finished yet. It's just faffing about, and the amount of hoojama flippery involved with that is a nightmare. And so what I've wrestled with is, when do I declare I'm transgender as part of the process? So what I've done is, when someone's come back to me and said, yeah, we're interested in taking it further, at that point I've said, I just need to let you know that I'm transgender and you need to be aware of this as far as the process is going. Because what I don't want to do is to go all the way through to the end and then figure out I didn't get the job because I was trans. I'd rather be knocked out, screened out of the process earlier on. Now, I think that's contentious, but I'd be interested.
I was going to say, I mean, as far as I'm concerned, you don't have any duty to declare you're trans. Really? I mean, if there's an issue with your ID, I get that might not add up. So you need to explain that. So I think if I was applying for a job, I wouldn't declare I'm trans. I'm applying as a woman. Now, they might figure I'm trans as soon as they meet me, but that's that's not, I don't need to do that. I don't need to declare that. It's not something that you need to declare. So I think you're right in terms of navigating some of those issues around IDs and things. I it's just the idea of saying I'm trans is not something, because it's a protect, you should be protected from that gender history. The employer doesn't need to know unless it needs to know.
I think this comes back to, and the thing is, it's possible in this conversation for us both to have completely different views, but yeah, both of us be right. Because actually, I do think it depends where you are in the process. So
of
you're
course,
clearly
I think it does, yes.
Yeah, and I think this is the thing, isn't it? I think you have to be more cautious at the beginning. So for example, if I was through, I had my deed polling and everything else that I'd had to do, all the surgeries, blah, 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 I wouldn't think twice. I wouldn't be thinking about myself as transgendered in that way. I'm proudly transgendered at the moment, so I'm happy to say it. And I'm also, one of the things, there's the two things. If the psychology of job hunting is quite interesting, because when you first start out, you're like a little tiny minnow on the end of an enormous hook with a giant fisher person and a massive rod. Yeah. And as the process goes on, and the more you impress people during the process, what happens is you become a much bigger fish, and the hook gets smaller, and the person on the other end has less power, to the point where they make you a job offer. And actually, some people argue that if you have to make declarations, that's the point where you should make them, because you have the most power, because they have less interest in losing you at that stage. So negotiating wise, you can decide where you want to do it. I'm much more upfront, and I'm not quite as militant as some people. Militant's not the word I really mean there, but I prefer just to be honest, and just because I'm a bit older,
no,
and say, I'm transgendered. Deal with
and
it.
I'm absolutely not saying that. I absolutely agree, and it is completely personal. There's no duty, so I don't think there's any duty on anybody who's part of our community to either declare or not declare. You know, I don't. You know, my position is would be different in the sense of I'm aware that people know I'm trans if they meet me, so I don't think I need to mention it. It's obvious, and I'm not applying for that unless it's relevant to the job. I'm applying as a woman, right? Yeah. You know, that's how it's better. But I entirely understand that if I was in a, and that may be because I'm nearly 20 years post-transition, right? The truth of the matter is, if I look back about when I transitioned, I was much more relaxed about things, about when people misgendered me, you know, things in the workplace. But then again, you know, and I did go around ringing everybody up and saying, by the way, I'm transitioning, and, you know, I didn't inform people myself. I think, you know, I'm coming from the privilege of having now transitioned and living, you know, I'm not having to go through that and navigate that. So maybe it's easier for me to say, well, I'm a woman, so I don't care what you think, which is a sort of what I may be coming across as. And I think that's fine for me if I want to, but it's not for me to impose that on anybody else.
And
we haven't all got to be. Yeah.
And I think it's interesting, isn't it? Because we're at the extremes of the process, which is the point of the podcast, isn't it? Mm-hmm. And it's encouraging for me to hear that you have that view. And I know that I will aim towards that view, because I'd much prefer to be there. And maybe I'm overly pragmatic about these things. I mean, clearly my CV says, this is who I am. I don't make any reference to things. I think it's mostly when I begin to engage with the organization and say, you know, this is just so you're aware. Because frankly, if they're going to scream me out then, and let's not waste everybody's time. Because the worst thing in the world is you get to the final stage of the interview, they suddenly realize what, you know, your gender status, and then they're scrabbling around trying to think of excuses. I'd much rather not do that. So I think on our applications, I would just say who you were, put your name down, whether you're trans mask or trans femme, doesn't matter, just you are your name, put it through. And you know, what you're going to have to do is you're going to have to go on LinkedIn, and whatever your profile is, your agencies, your pre-screen. And it's that point at which, when you start to engage with the actual end user, that's the point where you have the choice to make. Now, there are some, I hate this term passing, but there are some people who feel completely comfortable, they're early in the process and they can pass. Especially on a Zoom lens. I mean, I know I don't, you say you don't, but there you go. Our voices, you know, despite our training, haven't worked so well. But I think that there comes a point where it is better to have this conversation. So when someone says to me, have you got any questions for me? I would always ask, what is your attitude to trans people? How will you handle a trans person? What is your policy? What you know, what is it going to be like as a trans person working there? What level of support will I get? You know, to what extent will managers disregard my transgender status and just treat me as a normal person coming to do a job? I think we have the right to ask those questions if you want to.
I think so. I mean, I think you need to judge the employer you're applying
yes.
for. So, for instance, in a public sector, in the NHS, I think when they shortlist, they take names off them
yes.
Because of, you know, other biases around non-anglicised names and things like that.
Yeah.
So, in essence of getting a shortlist and an interview, you know, they may not be aware, right? And I think you talked about going on LinkedIn and things. Many people wouldn't use that as a route to employment. It depends on the level of job you're going at, I guess.
Yeah.
You know, they tend to be better paying jobs that you might get through and using those mechanisms. But I think there's an element of judging the employer. Certainly think if you're looking at bigger public sector employers, I would hope and expect they would have good policies and good recruitment policies and inclusion and may even embrace having more diversity in their workforce. Smaller employers, maybe that's more difficult. I think you need to, and it's the same with the job, you need to make that that distinction. I mean, you know, if I work in the NHS, if I was going for a nursing job, I would be nervous about how patients would accept me and those other challenges. So I might want to ask some questions about that. I mean, any employer would give a positive message back.
Yeah.
But I can see plenty of jobs where you might be really nervous about that. I think you need to make that. I think you need, your advice is absolutely right. And if you do wish to declare it, then you should. If you don't, I don't think you need to. You certainly shouldn't be criticised for not declaring your gender history. But in doing that, you're really probably having to have transitioned, really, in all honesty.
Yeah.
So if you're in a position where you might be more fluid and attending work, maybe expressing yourself differently, that would be different, I think.
Yeah.
And I also think, I suppose the issue is if you haven't transitioned, but you are intending to very soon, I guess, is what point do you tell an employer? I don't think you have any proportion to tell them before you get the job.
Well,
you might want to do that, I guess, to say, by the way, you know, I'm going to be transitioning in the next month. So, you know, so when I, you know, you might recruit me and I'll be turning up and be different. I think it's a matter, I think, of judging the sort of employer.
And I think that's what interesting you see, because you started the conversation by saying it's hard to get jobs at the moment, but actually it's pretty full employment at the moment. And I think it's, although there's a tiny bit of unemployment, but it's, these are the times when it's easiest to get jobs. And if you go to a recruitment agency and you're looking for driving jobs or care jobs, care jobs are the place for transgender people without skills to go, because all care organizations are really desperate to recruit. The challenge is just what you said with the NHS and the nurse's job is how the patients or the clients would react.
That's the same.
Yeah,
I agree. That's the same in care jobs. But you're right in the terms of there is less numbers of employment, but there are less, you know, the jobs are becoming more part-time and more gig economy type jobs. So yes, the you know, sort of quality jobs are more hard to get, if we want to use that term, quality. Yeah, there's more insecurity, you know, and yes, you can get jobs, but those are minimum, you know, often very minimal. I represent people in care homes and things. Those are minimum wage jobs, and those are pretty tough jobs.
Yeah, tough jobs, but there are jobs.
Yeah.
And the thing is, if that, there is something about, I've got to be careful when I say, because I don't want to come across as being sort of preachy on this, but the statistics around mental well-being and being at work are massive. It's such a positive correlation. I know a lot of people have burnout and such like when they're at work as well, but actually it's much healthier for you to be at work than it is not to be at work. That structure, that routine, that social glue that goes along. And I think one of the things you have to be, and I mean, people can ring beyond reflections and talk about their own situation and where it, you know, the actual situation in front of them and the sort of practical help that they may need. But I would always say, personally, I would always be fronting this out and saying, you know, because I'm proudly trans, because I'm not pretending to be something I'm not. And
I would I'd go further. I think for trans people particularly, so in terms of gender, when you're trans, it's all about how you relate to society and society relates to you. And the work is such a big part of that. So, you know, yes, I'm a woman, but I really only, I don't, when I'm on my own in the house, I barely express it because I can't bother to put makeup on and you know, I mean, I slouch around. Work, you know, I'm certainly that was the best part of transitioning was being able to attend work and being accepted at work as a woman, member of staff, with my colleagues. And that was so important to my transition because that helped validate me, you know, which is what I needed, that, you know, I am accepted, and this is part of the world, and work is in a huge part of that. So, I think if you can, you know, if you can stay in your job and transition in your job, or get a job when you're transitioning, it is so amazing. You know, it was the best part of my transition was being able to be accepted at work. I was already living my life outside of work.
And I think the thing about the interview process, a lot of people agonize because they're not used to being socially constructed and such like. I noticed on LinkedIn there was an article today saying that a senior exec had been denied a job because she'd gone through the interview process and hadn't worn makeup. And I think one of the things you is this idea of how we fit in socially. You know, what do you wear for interviews and such like? And I would always say you have to look at the organization and decide. So it's a bit like, you know, in my previous life, I used to go work. I used to maybe in a day as a consultant, I used to have to go and see a merchant bank in the morning, a media company afternoon, and then maybe meet a client in the evening to do some work with. And it's like, what do you wear? And that and the same thing presents itself. Whichever way you go, you're always going to have this struggle about how you fit in. And I think there's a difference between who you are and what you want to wear for yourself, and actually fitting into and conforming to the work norms. And you know, if you want to dress like a, I don't know, well, you know, something in a really, really short skirt and dance around and, you know, 8-inch platform heels, and you want to go for a job as a merchant banker, I mean, that's not, it's not going to flush particularly well. So I think you have to build. And I always think it's fascinating watching people of my age in both genders and seeing what they wear. A, the degree to which the norms have changed, but B, the degree to which is sort of acceptable and how you sort of fit in. Now, human beings sort of have a need to fit in, so it's sometimes sensible
Oh,
to
gotcha.
fit in.
Oh, gotcha.
If you're going to
But I
go
mean, I
work for the
think.
PR agency, I mean, wear what you are, you know, have green hair, you know, dance around in whatever you want, because it's a different world. But I think
No,
you
but I
have
think
to.
where we have, you know, where we can have a disadvantage is when we're transitioning, is we haven't had that chance growing up. Those are transition later of learning what looks what suits us and learning those, because I made loads of mistakes. So that's an extra challenge where people do learn those social norms about how what works. I mean, you can see you can generally gauge what's appropriate. I mean, we have a dress code at work that is degendered. So you can wear, you know, you don't have to be trans or not, you know, as a cisgender man, you could wear a skirt and whatever. Our policy doesn't define that. All it says is we have to adhere to the codes, which is, you know, you have to look respectable. We have a dress code sort of thing, like most employers do. So, but it's not gendered. You know, you as long as your clothes fit in with those norms. So, because we do have a policy that allows people to be gender fluid, for instance, particularly in corporate roles, if they want to attend, as long as they're attending in what is appropriate. So, I think the code says that you wouldn't wear jeans to work, right? So, you know, in the NHS in roles, I think the policy says that. I can't remember the detail. Or training, so you'd expect to wear sort of those clothes. And I think that's the issue. Whether whatever what the gender of your clothes is less important than, you know, that you're adhering to those standards, if there are standards.
But it's and people forget this, and there's a ton of research that supports this, that what you wear can generate confidence in yourself. So, you know, if you take your normal level of day wear and you just, you know, tweak it by 5% and be slightly more formal, you do feel better. And
Oh, gosh, yeah,
there's a
I've definitely done
huge
that.
amount of this that, you know, how you dress does affect your esteem, does affect your confidence. And it's you know, there are people who have interview clothes, aren't there? And you know, I remember somebody I knew used to have a very bright red, like blazer, and used to wear that for interviews because it used to make it was like a statement piece. And they used to go through and do their interviews and such like. And it was a person who was the least red blazer person you would ever meet in your life, you know. So she was selling herself as a false entity at the interview because she wasn't that person in real life. It was quite strange, So it's about being yourself, but being yourself at the best level of yourself so you can feel really great. So if you're on Zoom, I mean, if you're on, I mean, if someone once said to me, if you're on Zoom and you have an interview, make sure you're dressed from head to foot. Even if the temptation is to be, in your
Well, I
waders
must admit, it
and
was interesting.
scuba
It
set.
is true. I don't, we've got onto the little periods. And when we all went home at the start of the pandemic, those in corporate roles in the NHS, and we all started working on Teams straight away. I mean, I literally would make sure I put my work clothes on, sit on the computer. I'd even put my lanyard on. But I felt like it was being sort of, this is my work day now. These are my work clothes. I'm pretty soon discovered nobody else was bothering, and then you can see now that we're doing a lot of work over, and actually business, people, men aren't wearing shirts and ties that they would have in the workplace, but I think that's just the way things have moved on, right? But if they actually go into the workplace, they will, people will dress up more smartly. But generally, I did that, and I used to think, well, you should still take that. I remember going doing a board meeting and think I'd put on my proper work, smarter work clothes. I think I put a suit on, in a skirt suit, or whatever. And the rest of the board weren't. Some of them were in sort of more casual sort of clothes. And I thought, I was sort of thinking, well, you should try and take this as seriously as you did previously. But actually, that's just not human nature.
No.
But that bit of it, sorry, I'm slightly drifted, but that bit about feeling fitting in is a great feeling. I mean, I know when I first felt like I fitted in, like I dressed like my fellow women colleagues, I remember first time wearing a, which I wouldn't have worn as a trans person out of work, but wearing a smart skirt suit into work alongside colleagues in a serious meeting made me feel like I fitted, made me feel like I belonged. So there is something really, when you're early transitioning, it just makes you feel so much more confident.
The other tip, the other tip that someone told me, and I've always done because normally I am, as you know, but I'm sitting down today. But whenever you do a job interview, you always do it standing up. So make sure you can elevate your computer if you're on a Teams call, because it gives you a lot more status and authority to stand up. It gives you a lot more confidence. Well, it's lengthening your diaphragm and your voice box and such like, and you're much less likely to crouch over a screen. So, I mean, simple things like that, just things about just generating confidence are really
Oh,
important.
I would always say, if you can afford to, where I think people make mistakes, and you're going for jobs, because lots of jobs are interviewed online now, is get a good webcam, get a good microphone, get a good setup, because it's worth, if you can afford it, it's worth the investment to make sure that you can make the best of yourself, just as you would try to look your best if you were doing a physical.
And
That would be
the thing
my.
is, and if you happen to rock up for a job interview with a recruitment agency and you have to go and go there, then you just go there and be yourself. If you have to rock up to an employer, like if you go to a manufacturing company and they want someone to be a someone on working on a line, or if you want to be a driver or something, again, go dressed up, call it. There's no point going in your party frock if you're going to get a job as a driver. You know,
No, of course. I
you want to dress appropriately, don't you? But
of course.
it sounds like really simple common sense, but the trouble with simple common sense, it's only common sense if you know it already. And I think a lot of people, I mean, I get stressed out still to this day if I'm like going in a place and I don't know who's there and I don't know what to wear. And what I've discovered is much easier for women is that you can wear like a simple, like I've got a cardi now, and it takes 3 seconds to make your cardi
No,
look
but
smart.
you do, as women, we do that. And because I've been asked that, when we've been to, I don't know, events or conferences, things is, so we say, what you're wearing, is it, is it skirt or dress, or okay, trousers or whatever, what's the vibe? So we do ask each other that, we do that. And if you're going to more, so I think we naturally, as women, do that and talk to each other about if we're not sure, because we do want to, get the proper, sort of what's the expected dress code, because you have got more, for men it's a lot simpler, but you've got more options, right? Is it, in terms of how smart or how fancy you look or not, you
So,
don't want to overdress, neither
no.
do you want to underdress, if you see what I mean.
I think one of the things that it's possible now. I mean, there are all sorts of laws about what you can and can't ask in interviews, but actually, pretty well anyone can ask whatever they want in a certain way, as long as you ask it in a fairly way, a fairly sensible way. You can't ask someone's pregnant or things like that because that's not the case. But it may well be relevant if someone does ask you what accommodations may need to be made at work for you. Or it may well be that you're clear what accommodations might need to be made for you. So things like, the old the bathroom debate. You might need to say things like, my accommodation was, I'd like to use the loo in my, my current
Okay,
gender.
I mean,
And
fair enough. I mean, I still find that difficult because I shouldn't have to
but
tell anybody what toilet I want to use.
But
I
again,
use the toilet for my gender.
this is where you are in your
Yeah,
transition, you
I get
see.
that. I get that. But if you are attending work and having transition, then the law says you should lose the. So I get that, and it might be with certain employers, but you're giving them the chance to say, "Oh no, we're awkward about that," and that should not be the case. It should be a
But
given, really.
I'd rather, you see, now this is where you and I are different, you see, because
Yeah, I
I
guess.
wouldn't willingly go and work in a place that was non-transgender welcoming and have a fight on my hands and then lose my job in a month's time because actually they weren't. I think part of what's happening here is we need to know that the organization we're going in is going to accept us as we are. So I would ask questions like that and see what they say. I would expect to be asked what accommodations need to be made for me. So it's not an unreasonable question, I think, for someone to say, will you need a lot of time off for treatment? Now, I don't think that's a terrible question to ask. And actually, I'd rather someone ask me because I'd be able to say, no, I don't. So if someone has an idea in their head and they're re so the thing is, people ask you questions based on the objections they might have. So what you're doing is by hearing those questions, you're flushing out the objections. So I'd much rather
I
deal
guess
with those.
I get your point that you'd want to know, but it would worry me about an employer if they asked me
Oh,
things like
not at
that when
all.
I was going to job. It would me. I would go, was this a ploy that really has any understanding of their responsibilities and the Equality Act and everything else? If they're raising the issue, if an employer raised the issue of what bathroom I've used with me, I would be horrified if at
And I'd be the
interview.
reverse. I'd welcome it. I'd think
I
fantastic because
guess
at least we're having the
that
debate.
might be my privilege. It might be my privilege, but if I think about when I transitioned, and it was some time ago, so that there wasn't a law, there would have been plenty, hundreds of occasions I would have been in different employers' premises. I would be, because that's my job. I was all over the place. I never once give it any second thought that I would use the ladies,
But
and I
you see
wouldn't have asked
what.
permission either,
But
because.
one of the things that's really fascinating about when you get into an organization, you go for an interview, is you walk through the front door, you've already bumped into the receptionist, you've gauged the reaction of the receptionist, and you're probably going to say, do you mind if I use the loo? And you're going to use the loo, which you think is appropriate. So what you're doing is you're checking out the difference between the reality and the story
Yeah,
that's
I
being
get.
told. So, because I think what you're doing in a job interview is you're sussing them out and figuring out if you want to work there. Because remember, love us or hate us, we're a bunch of people with skills, talents, and capabilities. So, in an organization, if they've got a vacancy, needs those skills, talents, and capabilities. So, it's a negotiation between how that thing comes together. And I think sometimes we see ourselves as a little minnow on the end of a big hook and don't realize that as the process goes on. Once you're at interview, you have a lot more power in the process because they've already started to commit to you. It's like having a relationship. You're on a second date when you've got to interview stage, third, and we all know what happens at the third date.
I mean, as I say, and in a sense, I'm coming from my privilege and biases, working for a big public sector organization, welcoming me
Much easier.
as a
So
trans
much
person,
easier.
as somebody who trans, the world was an easier place as well in 2005. Nobody genuinely cared much. I was asked once when I went to a conference. I was asked once within my union. I was going to a conference, and I said to them, "By the way, I hadn't transitioned then, and it was the first time I was going to sort of appear in a work setting as Jenny." And I was asked, "What toilet are you going to use?" And I was a bit. I said, "Well, I'm going to use the women's toilets. I'm trans. I'm a sensitive woman. I'm starting my transition." And the colleague went, "Oh, okay." That's the only time I've been asked in all my career, really. But I think 2005 was a simpler time, I think.
And I also freely accept that because I'm a bit older and a bit more, how can I say? I'm at one stage more susceptible and more worried, but another stage much more bullish and much less scared. So, I'm quite prepared to have it out with people. But actually, if you don't want to work with someone, I'll just tell them I don't want to work with you. You can stick your job, sort of thing. Because actually, if you don't accept me, I don't care. I don't want to work here. And if I've got the skills and talents you need, and if you do want them, then I'll take them
Your
somewhere
loss.
else. And I think that, and it doesn't matter which line of work you're in, from care to drive into fruit packing to whatever it might be. The old days of oh, we need to, we can treat this person like a commodity on your boat, on your bike, because there's another 50,000 behind you. Those days are over now. And actually, organizations are having to be a bit smarter. I tell you what, I am actually fascinated to apply for a job in the National Health Service. And I did see a job in your trust quite recently, and for a laugh, I think I
Oh
told
no,
you this.
you should definitely.
I was going
Yeah.
to apply, yeah.
Can you imagine if I was on the interview panel, Jill? I'd have to declare an interest, I guess. But
Would you?
I would have to declare an interest. I have to declare the fact that I'm a trustee of the charity to my employer. But
Can you
if you've got a
imagine
job,
that? We'd start the interview and I'd be saying hello, welcome to my
oh,
chat
I would
box.
be asking you. I would be, yeah, I'd be asking the most awkward question. I'd be horrible to you, Jill. We don't want to do that. I'd be trying to trick you.
That's good. I'd enjoy it.
No, I wouldn't. I wouldn't. But yes, it's yes. I think we come from very different perspectives, both in where we are in our position, I guess, and also the realms we work with. You work in a very different area than I. I'm in so privileged just to work for the public sector for so long. So I've never known anything else apart from driving an ice cream van for 3 weeks. But I mean,
Yeah.
that's the only
But
work
so
I've done.
I do think a bit like in the States, a lot of people apply to work for Starbucks because they pay for transition over there, and which is amazing, isn't it? And but in here, in this country, there are jobs you can apply for in certain types of organizations are a lot more accepting. Now, if you don't have a skill set, if you used to be an engineer at a nuclear power plant and you've lost your job, like any person in the world, you're going to have to go through some sort of retraining and repurposing and recalibrating and all that might be. And it doesn't matter whether you used to work in a shop or in a restaurant, whatever it is. The thing is, people with those sorts of skills are much more in demand. If you remember, I talked to you many podcasts ago about working with a chain of restaurants, and they said they had a transgender person working in their team, and they were absolutely fantastic, and they were the best person. The problem we had was some of the customers, and that's the
Not
nature of life.
surprised. French people are better than cis people on every on any measurable level, objectively.
Yeah,
But
no one
no,
cares.
joking aside, navigating transition and doing that and having the bravery to be authentic, when that can be difficult. These are all things that employers should ought to really grasp because it is a skill set in a weird way. You learn a lot
It
about
is.
life when you transition, and I
It's
think,
resilience.
yeah,
When people
yeah.
talk about resilience, and you meet the majority of trans people who've hit rock bottom and come back. And they bounce forward because they're bouncing forward in a way that's much more coherent with who they really are. It's and all I can say, if there's any employers listening, the opportunity to hire a trans person is immense. And I know a friend of mine was recruiting in the Northeast and the in IT. So needless to say, there's quite a lot of trans people in IT because of the
Absolutely.
various bits and bobs of it. And he had three people applying, and he wanted to hire the trans person. And he was saying, I was desperate to hire that trans person. Any three of them could do the job, but I wanted to positively discriminate the trans person. And he turned around, and the trans person said no, because he got a better offer around the corner. And that's the point. We sometimes think because we're trans, we're not worthy, and we have to be proud. I think we have to be
Yes.
proud of who we are in our
Yeah.
process. It's
Absolutely. That's a really
trickier when you're even further behind me and you're non-binary and you're really wrestling with
Indeed,
things and you're
I
really not
absolutely. You make a
comfortable
really
in
good
your own
point
skin.
about the lack of understanding for people with non-binary identities.
Yeah,
There's a
that's a
real,
challenge.
still deep lack of really taking that seriously, understanding that, and I think that's a real challenge that we haven't talked about for people in who are non-binary and navigating that. I mean, that is maybe for another podcast because
I think
we
so.
maybe get someone who is non-binary to talk about that. But I think you're right on that. But that's still a positive note to end on, I would have thought.
It is. I think we've had a very positive podcast, and so I have a couple of job interviews to go to, and
Yes.
I mean, one's a voluntary role, so I mean, goodness sake. But
Still, you know.
there's a couple who are non, and one's a couple of interim contracts, which I do like an interim contract, and we'll see where it takes us, and
Indeed, to mangle Yossa Hughes, giz her job, yeah.
Is a job. You see, but the thing is, what's really interesting for me is the reason I'm having to do all this, I don't know if you realize this, the reason I'm having to do this is that up until last year, I used to work a lot on the African nation.
Yeah,
And I used to
yes.
work a lot with African politicians and used to do training, leadership development, all that sort of stuff. And I declared back in whenever it was that I wouldn't go to, I can't remember which country it was, because they have the new legislation, it's anti-trans. And what
Yeah.
they're saying is, if you go over there and you're even gay, if you're a
Well,
lesbian or gay, a
Uganda, I think, has
bisexual, I
particular
think it was
horrible.
Uganda. It was either
Yeah.
Uganda or Kenya. And I said I wouldn't go. And then every single bit of work dried up, every single bit overnight.
Wow.
And that was like 100 to 100, 150 days work a year for me.
Wow.
And that's why I'm suddenly having to do this, because you have to recognize, and it's their right, it's their country. They can, I mean, I might not approve of it, I might not like it, but it's their country to do what they want. And what they say is they don't want people like me going in. The fact is, if I wasn't dressed like me and I wasn't me, and as I used to be, they would be very, very happy to have me and be paying me large sums of money to have me. The fact I've got a transgender tag against my name now is I've become a non-person.
Well, that is—it's definitely their loss, and let's hope that does start to change that narrative. I'm still hopeful it will, but it
It
will take
will.
some time. It
Yeah.
will take some time.
Every pendulum swings its own swing. That's a famous quote from someone. I think I'm going to say it's from me.
Yes.
Because it's quite meaningless, isn't it? It's like them's your onions, which is my other favorite place. Well, I shall see you next time.
Yes,
And
look forward to it.
I mean, I think we've done, I mean, we've had a sensible podcast. There's been no mention of Star Trek. Oops. There's been no mention of the
We
Comic
haven't
Con.
really pulled it out
Oops.
much yet.
No, stop. Let's stop this. We're going to have to find something else to disagree on. And I'm not going to mention that subject. So I shall see you next time.
You take care. Thanks, everyone. Bye.
Bye. Thanks for listening to this episode of Transvox. It's been a joy to have you with us. If you want to make contact with us, you can contact us at gillian@transvox.co.uk. And if you'd like to support the work we do, please go to Patreon and go to page Transvox. And all of our money goes to our nominated charity. And Jen, you've chosen the charity for the next number of episodes. Which one have you chosen?
Our charity is called Beyond Reflections, which is a charity that provides support and counselling to trans people, non-binary people and their friends and their families across the UK. An amazing charity doing some amazing work, really important. So please, if you can give.
Great. And if you want to go and have a look at Beyond Reflections, it's beyond-reflections.org.uk. And but as I say, if you'd like to make a contribution to what we're doing, because we love to help the people who help us. Again, if you've got ideas for the show, things you'd like to ask us, questions, comments, applause, or brickbats, feel free to send it all in to
Absolutely.
gillian@transvox.co.uk. Until the next time, goodbye.
Bye-bye.